Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios in New York City. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loan Supply. Simply understand fully. Mortgage confidently. Get your rocket mortgage on, son. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do bit. All my friends that come around, flat to party up. Rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown. What a mess, this town's in tatter. My brains are splattered all over Manhattan. Jadubish, I got a ooh. Are you with us tonight from New York? All right, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 is the number. 855-212-4227 to get on the bench. Rick Caro will join us at 10:40 this very hour to talk sports business, our usual trip down the sports business lane. And then at 11:04 Eastern, our good friend Jim McBride from the Boston Globe. Love that guy. He's awesome. We'll talk about the Pats and lowly Steelers and their big game at Heinz Field on Sunday. See where the Pats are standing here heading into this one. Live Chargers Chiefs 21-7 Kansas City. I mean, bottom line is, didn't he throw a pick and they were moving in to score to tie the game and Rivers threw a pick? And now they come out of the gates in the second half and score again. I'd say that's a big trouble for the Chargers. You're about to tie the game and now you're down two touchdowns. I think they're in big trouble in this football game tonight, but they were down 23-7 to Pittsburgh and beat them. So then again, who doesn't beat Pittsburgh? They honored Tony Gonzalez tonight in Kansas City at Arrowhead. Put his number up on the ring of honor, and he loves those Chiefs fans. And then Antonio Gates gave him some love. Gates, of course, the all-time touchdown leader for tight ends in NFL history. He is enormous. Have you ever seen that guy when he catches the ball? Like, he will run you over. He looks like he's 300 pounds, Carver High. He is huge.
He's a big dude.
He is a beast. So, Carver High, looks like it's just me and you tomorrow night. Your boy Mafi is going to a wedding or something.
Correct.
So, that's the last show of the year for me.
Yeah. We got,
I know you're going to miss me next week, but
I'm only off next week on Friday.
So, but Friday and then the rest of the year for you, the following. So, a week from tomorrow, you're off for the rest of the year.
Correct.
And lucky for me, I'm off the rest of the year as of after tomorrow night, you and I do the final show of 2018.
Yes. We'll have Jamie with the fantasy playoffs.
Whoa.
Big night.
Whoa.
And I'm assuming we got to do some kind of
something
college bowl blowout since you're not going to be on.
What?
I think we need to do a little roundup of every game before we get out of here. Right?
So, in other words, gamble heavily on bowl games.
Correct. All right.
All right. We'll break down every bowl game. And I'll talk about all the different schools and their cheerleading crews and who I'd like to sleep with. Wait. It's probably not a good way to start the show tonight with that kind of thinking. Mafia, though, I did my good deed for the year today. I told you the story. Carver High, do you want to hear what happened? I saw an old lady as I was driving into my neighborhood in the snowstorm this morning.
Really?
We get to, like, I don't know about you, but we get snow where I live. And sure enough, it was snowing pretty bad in the morning, right? And I'm driving up my street, and I saw this old lady wipe out, right? I saw her literally carrying groceries in her purse, and she bit it. I mean, like, full-on bit it. She was going downhill, and she slipped, and her legs flew up in the air. I saw her entire body flatline in the air, like a full, like, swan dive backwards. And she smacked her head off the cement, and she wasn't moving. And I stopped, because you know me, I would have kept going, like I did with the girl that drove through the, strip mall the other night. Last night, I saw a girl drive through a strip mall with her car. She hit the wrong pedal and drove right through the strip mall. And then tonight, I see this, today I see this old lady fall and smack her head. She wasn't old. She was like 60. But that's old to me. I'm 53 and I feel old. Although I do still have game. Anyway, Carver High stopped. I got out, and she was about, she was an Indian woman, and she was about 100, 110 pounds tops. Very small, 5 foot three, something like that. And she was injured. And I was like, are you okay? And she's like, no. And I'm like, okay, now listen, I'm going to help you. I'm going to pick you up, okay? And she's like, okay. And I go, all right, so I'm in my flip-flops and shorts. I got nothing on, a hoodie. And I picked up this lady, and I carried her up this driveway. Mavi, you saw it. It's a pretty steep driveway.
Yeah, it's pretty steep, especially in the cold and flip-flops with the, you know, the icing over from the snow this morning.
It was bad. So I carried this lady, Carver High, up to the door, and she's like, I'm the nanny. First, I checked her head to see if she was bleeding. She wasn't. And then I picked her up, and I carried her to the front door all the way up the hill. And, I mean, it was as slippery as an ice rink. And I was having problems myself, like walking, right? And then I went back down, and I picked up all of her groceries and her purse. I stole a 20. I'm just kidding. I picked up everything, and I put it back in her purse, and I put all her groceries back in her bag. She had dropped everything. It was all over the street, everything, like everywhere. It was everywhere. And I went back up and gave her a bag, and I told her who I was. I said, I'm Scott, and I live at I live right here in this house up the street. Just so you know, I'm not like some freak driving around looking for old ladies to hit on. Because when I first walked up to her, that's what I said to her. I go, I'm Scott. I live at Blum. I'm going to help you, okay? Do you understand? I'm going to try to help you here because you're injured. And she was like, okay. So I carried her up to the door. And I got to tell you, when I was done, I was soaking wet. And I, because I was sweating, because I was like carrying this chick. And I'm not that strong. I'm really not. Mafia lifts 50-pound weights. I lift 20-pound weights. So anyway, I saved this old lady today. She asked me if I wanted to make out or anything. I said no. She offered to cook me a breakfast. I said no. And then the lady that lives at the house offered to sleep with me, and I said yes. Wait, are we on the air? I was just telling Carver High a story. Sorry. Did that go out on the... Check one, two. Anyway, yeah, that's my good deed for the year, Mavi. I'm done. I'm going to be a jerk the rest of the year because I've already got my good deed card in. Get out of jail free card, son. All right. Carson Wentz has a fractured vertebrae. So does that old lady. So he's not going to be playing anymore. You know what everybody said? Instead of saying how bad the Eagles suck this year, now they're using that as an excuse. He's been playing with a fractured vertebrae. How tough he is. You see, this guy's a gamer. Did you see his teammates? He went out there and played without every week. You wonder why we didn't have any success. He toughed it out, though, and went out there for us and fought. We believe in him. What I say is they suck, and now he's not going to play. The Indians trade Edwin Encarnacion to the Mariners in a three-team deal, and all of the other players involved, I have no idea why we keep mentioning them on the air here because I've never heard of any of them. The only one I'm interested in is the guy with the bat.
Carlos Santana is a good player, too.
Okay, he's fair enough. The other one's this Yandy, any other one?
Jake Bowers.
Jake Bowers. I only know Trevor Bauer, right. and Eddie Bauer.
Well, now they have both the Bowers.
If I don't know who you are, I don't talk about you, pretty much. I know that sounds weak-ass journalism, but really, if no one's heard of you, no one cares about you, there's no point talking about you. I learned that a long time ago. Play the hits, son. Steph Curry says the Raptors sweeping the Warriors in a regular season is no big deal, and they don't get any extra points if we were to face them in the finals. Sweeping the Warriors might not be a big deal to them, but it is for the Raptors' confidence, and it is for all of us who enjoy watching the Warriors lose. Is that not dead-on accurate?
I think it is,
Carver High. All right. Carver High, have you done any good deeds lately for in the holiday season or anything?
I honestly don't like helping people. Like, it's just something that I just don't like to do.
That is fantastic.
Like, I avoid
help.
I'm just kidding. If I have the opportunity to help somebody, I would. But
there's a touchdown. Williams. That guy is such a stud. The one out of Clemson, the receiver, 6'4", 225. What a stud. We got a game here now all of a sudden.
Let's go.
The pick. It would have been a tie game right now. They'd have the lead right now. Anyway, there
Chargers
you go.
Chargers are alive here tonight.
What was the spread in this 7 when it opened?
I'm pretty sure it was 3 tonight or 3.5, something like that.
What was it when it opened?
I think it was around 7. I think you're right. It was like 6 or 7.
It was, oh, no, it was 3.5.
Was it?
Yeah, 3.5.
I know early in the game it was up to like 7.5, then I saw it at 5.5, and I grabbed it at 4.5 right before we came into New York.
Mavi has a massive gambling problem. That's just fantastic. PharrellOnTheBench.com is a premier destination for picks and people with problems. Thursday is the game going on right now. Saturday, 2 games in the NFL, which makes Saturday kick ass because there's 5 or 6 bad bowl games that I don't want to watch. Sunday, Pats, Steelers. PharrellOnTheBench.com has picks for everything. Every bowl game's posted, college rack, NBA, NHL, boxing, MMA, daily fantasy. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. It's cheap. The return is fat stacks. Don't forget episode 94 tomorrow, Pharrell on the Bets. That's my sports betting show on WestwoodOnePodcast.com, Apple, iTunes, and Google Play. It's a sports betting show that runs Tuesday to Sundays. It's like a 20 to 30 minute sports betting show. All we do is talk about sports betting. Anyway, you'll love it. Subscribe free. Check it out. And follow us on Twitter at OnTheBetsWWO.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line 855-212-4CBS is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to Geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. So I don't know if you saw this story or not. ESPN did on Outside the Lines about the food and concessions at stadiums around the country. And they're running an E60 on it or something, I think, on Sunday I saw. But all I know is this. I watched it, and it was really gross. I mean, I was like, what is happening here? And then so they did it. Routine inspections from 2016 and 17 found that 28% of the venues, half or more of the food service outlets, incurred a high-level violation, one that poses a potential threat for foodborne illness. Anyway, so they did the average number of high-level violations per inspection at each venue and compared that to the average for restaurants and other food outlets in the area. For the 82 venues that for which we had community data provided by this analytic company. So they went around and did this stadium, 16,900 inspections, 111 North American venues, 73 had good or better rates than the community, 9 had worse rates, 28% had high-level violations of half or more of outlets inspected. Not to bore you with numbers, here's what I saw. The worst ones in violations of just disease were the Spectrum, the Palace, and the American Airlines Center. There's only one of those really active now in pro sports. The Spectrum's no longer active. They do all kinds of other stuff in there, right? But they don't play pro sports in there. And then Palace is closed, right? They have the Little Caesars right now. Isn't that what's going on there? The one in Dallas got horrible reviews where the Mavs and Stars play. And the lowest, the best are NRG, and I think that's Houston, right? State Farm Arena, I don't know where that one is. I can't remember. And then Oracle is East Bay. But here's the one, these are temperature violations of the food. It's not being stored in the right temperatures, things like this. Employee-related issues were, remember the guy in Detroit, wasn't it, that hawkered on the pizza dough? He got thrown in jail. Pests and bugs, poor condition of food, rotting food, equipment failure problems, other blah, blah, blah. So anyway, one of the worst was Yankee Stadium, 79% violation rate. I'm sitting there watching it, and they said they did this story of this Marlin Man guy that's always showing up in the front row at every sporting event. He's so painful. But the guy's got a lot of money, some lawyer from Miami, and he goes to all these sporting events and sits in the front row. He brought like 12 people to a Yankee game, and they went in the Legends section right behind home plate. They went down there eating crab legs, and like 11 of them ended up in the hospital with salmonella. They said it was the cocktail sauce of the crab legs. And they denied everything, of course, the Yankees. They offered them all free tickets, though, because they were all dying in the hospital. But, I mean, it was really gross. Like, I was watching this story, and I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, honestly, I'm not even kidding you. Like, I'm never going to eat stadium food again. I know that sounds crazy, but think about it. They showed all these people. It's that they cook for, 50, 60, 70,000 people, right? Or baseball, 40, 50,000 people, and they got so much volume, and they're cooking so much food, and there's so many people buying it and eating it and drinking it and everything else, that there's no time to sit around and be like, cleaning and things during these games. They're just hammering food and cooking it no matter. There's no, you know, rhyme or reason to it. There's no crying in baseball. There's no time to, like, clean the grill when they're cooking 7,000 burgers an hour. You know what I mean? So I'm sitting there watching it, and I was just gagged out. I mean, I was like, I'm never eating at Yankee Stadium again. That's what I was like. I'll have some popcorn, maybe. I mean, they can't screw up a beer or a root beer, can they? But honestly, it was disgusting. They showed, like, ants in the food, cockroaches, rats, mice. I'm like, what is going on here? And I was thinking to myself, how many times have you gone to a game? I went to the high school playoffs at MetLife. Remember I told you I went to those high school football playoffs at MetLife? The state championships like a year ago. I went to see these schools play. And I had, like, food. I took Chop. And she was like, I'm hungry. So we went up and I got, like, a bunch of chicken strips and, you know, like fries and stuff like that at the concession stand at halftime so that she could eat or something. And then we went back down and ate, and I was noticing how Pharrell and disgusting it was. I was like, oh, my God, this tastes like a tennis shoe. It's so bad. And I was thinking to myself, I can't eat this food in these stadiums. It's so disgusting. It's just so bad. It's so terrible. And then I see a story about how it's all infested with disease. Jesus, I can't have it. Carver High's having none of it. And Carver High loves to drink beer and have a, you know, a broad or something at the game.
I guess not anymore. I mean,
I've ruined that for you.
Pretty much over now.
Well, Carver High, look on the bright side. You always have a fantastic Bills Mafia tailgate, and you bring your own food, which is clean and washed and healthy and ready for the grill.
There's plenty of really good places to eat down the block from Yankee Stadium. So
also, Carver High brings his own grill, which he inspects and cleans before every tailgate.
Always.
And the cooler that he brings all of his beers and whiskey in is always sprayed out after every game. And fresh ice is put in before the next tailgate party. And then, I don't know. Mafia just drinks and smokes at the tailgate party. He's not interested in eating. He's too busy drinking whiskey. But when I go to games, I love to eat food, right? You know, don't you love to just sit at, because when I, like, go to a theater, I always get the popcorn, right? When I go to a game, don't you always go to the concession stand? Didn't I used to say it's like you go to Yankee Stadium, it's $1,000. It's $500 for the tickets. It's $250 for the food, right? And another $50 for the parking. And then, you got to get a souvenir, right? That's $150. It's about $1,000 to go to a Yankee game. And then nothing like going home with salmonella. I mean, I'm sitting there watching this tonight, and they were just bashing Yankee Stadium in this piece. I mean, giving them the business. And they're denying all of it. They're like, we don't know what they're talking about. I love anything to do with the Yankees, to me, is great. Even when, what did he call them, Death Star?
Evil Empire.
I love it.
Fully operational.
I love fully operational. And then the food is all poisoned at the stadium, which now they've proven.
The Yankees are denying that report.
The Yankees are denying everything. They said their food is awesome. They have no idea what they're talking about. Meanwhile, the hospital report from the day with the 11 people got salmonella. They all got the same thing, the same strain from the same restaurant, the Legends Buffet. So anyway, but that doesn't mean I want the Yankees to win 105 games. And I don't really care who gets Rhea when they go to the game. But apparently now, if you go to the stadium, be warned. Or anywhere else for that matter. You enjoy that big old bowl of nachos with cheese and jalapeno drops at the Nassau Coliseum now, going out there to catch the Islanders. Meanwhile, it turns out the cheese and jalapenos came from the original Coliseum in the 70s. They had it in a back fridge, and they busted it out for the reopening of the arena. Everyone went to the first game the other night, sellout. Everybody went home and had Rhea. I mean, it is just awful. I saw that tonight. I was grossed out. It ruined my evening, in fact. I have no longer, I don't think I'm able to finish the show. I may have to go home now. I did not. I was killing this story into the ground further than it should have been.
Rivers aired one out, and the safety comes across and has it jumping in the air just right at him, and he just lets it go right through his hands off his shoulder and misses it.
And dropped it?
Yep.
So all of a sudden, the Rockets have been lighting up the Lakers in what was a great game. It was an incredible game, like a tie game, changing leads every time down the floor. And then in a matter of 1 minute, they went up like 10. They hit like three threes in a bucket, and it was over. Now all of a sudden, I think they have a fat lead.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, Rick Haro's our sports business and legal insider on the bench for over 2 decades. He's in Oklahoma City tonight, apparently hanging out with Dickie V.
Dickie V is called the Bowtie Ball, raising money for charity. My friend Ron Norick, who was the mayor of Oklahoma City way back when the SNAPS plan happened, which allowed the Thunder to move from Seattle. And this is a kind of a 25 years ago they voted for this thing, which only means that I'm really old. They raised a lot of money for charity. This Fields and Futures program is new here. And by the way, just so you know, I'm wearing a tux.
We got to call you back, Rick. You sound terrible. We'll get right back with you. There you go. I mean, it's just like a disaster, these phone calls we have with him. Is it not like everywhere he goes? I mean, honestly, when is the last time he sounded good on the show? Honestly, like ever? Years ago. When he sits on a landline in his hotel, right? That's when he sounds good. That cell phone of his, I mean to tell you, for the birds, if he can't get it better, we'll just not do it. How's that sound? All right, we're going to try it again. All right, Rick, so Seattle has been given an NHL franchise, and they'll begin play in 2021. How did they pull it off?
Because they paid $650 million for it, and they got a new arena for it, and Gary Bettman wanted to have a second franchise. Now the only issue is going to be whether Phoenix keeps its team in the NHL because, you know, the last time you checked, there's no arena. And really, when you take a look at the deal, there's no public money for it either. So the guys who own the Rockets control the arena in Houston. Look for Phoenix to look at Houston in the not-too-distant future.
So you believe what I just heard you say is that there's been talk of certain people, like the guy that owns the Golden Nugget and everything, that owns the Rockets, he said he'd buy the team and move them to Houston, right?
Yeah, well, the guy who owned it now owns Landry's Restaurants, you know, all those restaurants for Kitta.
Right.
And he owns the Rockets. He spent a lot of money for them. Money's no object. Houston's a great market. And look, Phoenix, you know, is a great hockey market because of all the transplanted Canadians and Northerners. But you got to have an arena that makes sense, and right now they don't.
Yeah, you know, I actually I think it's fantastic there for, you know, golf. And for the weather and for tourists and, you know, things of this nature. I've never actually bought in that that's a good hockey town.
Look, remember what Jack Kim Cook said when the Kings were established and how hard it was before Gretzky? He said, one of the problems we have is that people go to L.A. to escape the ice and cold. So same thing about Phoenix. People go there to stay warm. The last thing you want to do in staying warm is to see a terrible hockey team. So if they don't have an arena, you know, you got a problem. So, you know, here is Gary Bettman's message right now. Get an arena done or you lose the team.
I can see why they put him in the Hall of Fame. I mean, this guy has managed to the scene in Vegas, now Seattle. All he's done is and you can hate him all you want, boom all you want. The guy's made the league billions of dollars. I mean, he is the ultimate. He's turned into more of a businessman than a lawyer.
Franchise values went up 8% a year. You know, he's got teams. How do you pay $650 for a team in Seattle? Well, I'll tell you why. You say that's the price we pay, and if you don't like it, go buy a team across the street. Oh, there is not. So let's do the deal in Seattle. If we want it, we pay $650. And by the way, the Phoenix, the Vegas franchise was $500 million. The teams in 1990 sold for $50 million, all those NHL expansion teams. The teams that sold at 67, $5 million. The real key to the success of a league is franchise value. And Gary Bettman does it right.
So the XFL is trying to make a splash into existing and former NFL markets when they launch.
Well, the problem with the XFL is you got three other pretenders, and you got the juggernaut that you're going against with the NFL. Vince McMahon did it for a year, ran out of patience, ran out of money. I'd like to see it happen, but we got four leagues jousting for territory next year. They got to find a niche. They got to find some money, and it may not happen.
Networks are touting their success in the college football this season with their ratings. Who did the best?
CBS, the SEC network, did a really good job. all of the networks really did. As we go to the final games, I'm here in Oklahoma, by the way. These people believe that they're going to beat Alabama. You talk to the athletic director here, you talk to all the people in Oklahoma, and I'm not sure. But the bottom line is that this is a really exciting time for playoffs and otherwise, and we'll see how it works.
What's going on with the PGA in Frisco, Texas? And I see that 37 new people move there every day and an increase of 8% in population. It's crazy what's going on there. What is the PGA doing there? Building basically a golf city.
They're building a big city in Frisco, Texas. Frisco, Texas is part of the whole development deal. They've got a great mayor who's tried to put a whole deal together. Remember, it's the Star. It's Jerry Jones's deal. And they're trying to do a whole bunch of golf courses as well. And part of the issue is they moved the PGA headquarters from my hometown of Palm Beach Gardens into Frisco, and they're spending a lot of money for it. So public money doesn't lie. They got incentives to do stuff, and they're trying to figure it out. And I think it's going to be a really, really good deal for Texas, not so good for Florida.
The PGA is currently in talks to have their own pro player drafting protocol for their various different tours, you know, PGA China, you know, all the way up to the PGA Tour itself. There's different levels of golf. So what are they doing? They're basically guaranteeing college players some form of pro receipt out of this, that they're going to put them, they're going to place them somewhere to play pro golf no matter what?
It's going to change the entire sport on its head, which is why it may not work. But they're really trying to figure out how to get it started. And what they'll do at a college is say, we're going to guarantee you slots, but you got to go to China, you got to go to Europe, you got to go here and there. And remember, it's such a different system than the current one where you do Q school. If you're Q school, then you work your way up and you win money, and money dictates your success. So it is an interesting proposal. I'm not sure it's going to happen.
Rick, what is the deal with this Moneyball era in sports where now this home court capital group is basically revolutionizing the analytics and everything else? What are they doing with this thing, the story in Bloomberg that you're selling?
Yeah, well, you know, they're trying to figure out how to make some money off of data. We all try to make money off of data. But, you know, nobody's buying data for me because I can't add past 11 without taking off my socks. You know, the problem is with these big companies, everybody understands that analytics drives a lot of this. And $150 million has been raised toward an early career athlete in all of the sports to exactly pinpoint when they're going to be successful and how. These players will have a new way to manage their finances also. So it's kind of an interesting technological advance.
The White House visit predicament has started again. The Red Sox are going, though.
Well, the Red Sox are going, thank God, because this is not a who's in the White House. This is a you win the World Series, you get a trip to the White House. And so, you know, disrespectful comments. He says, I'm going to use my platform the right way. Joey Cora, I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm going to represent 4 million people from back home the right way when you go there. So he's got the right answer, I think, which is let's not protest by not going if we don't like the occupant. Let's talk about the office.
The NFL and Arrow Electronics are doing something for the Super Bowl competition designed to drive innovation in athlete safety and performance. What's that about?
Called First and Future. There are a couple of categories. The NFL is doing a really good job to say, let's use this time before the Atlanta Super Bowl to advance technology. There is a medical component, innovative product concepts to improve player health and safety. There is a technical component to try to get more fan information. So one side of it is improving player safety. The other side of it is making the whole stadium experience better. And I can't wait because there's a whole day in Atlanta where all it is these kind of cool technical presentations. And that's going to be a big deal.
Rick, Wayne Rooney may not have it anymore, but he's worth a ton. And what did he bring to the D.C. United besides his foot? He meant so much more to their pockets.
$4.5 million in social media value, 28 signing drove the value of $1.7 million, $3.7 million engagements, $1.24 million in media value, a lot of money. His Facebook, Instagram accounts, 31 million engagements. So you don't have to score a lot of goals, but you ought to be really good at social media. And kudos to guys like Andy Bush and others who have taken over D.C. United and move the revenue where it becomes relevant in D.C. sports.
Tech Top 5, Steph Curry is an executive producer for a high school basketball docuseries called Benedict Man.
Yeah, and you know what the interesting thing about that is? He wanted to develop technical stuff. He talks about the brotherhood of young men who seek the balance in their lives. And he talks about subscription tiers for this company, Quibi. And he's a guy, just like LeBron and just like Iguodala and others, who've taken Silicon Valley contacts and trying to make money off it. So kudos to him. By the way, he can also shoot pretty good three-pointers, don't you think?
Yeah, the Players Tribune, Jeter founded that. Now they've bought this company called Unscripted, so they just keep getting bigger.
Keep getting bigger. Russell Wilson, Blake Griffin, Danica Patrick were the original founders. Now it allows players to share their stories from their own perspective while simultaneously providing opportunities to bring in a little extra cash for sponsorships. It's really taken off because a lot of the players, not just Derek Jeter's word of mouth, but a lot of the players are saying, this is a cool platform for us to express our opinion.
Power of Sports, John Cena wins the Muhammad Ali Legacy Award for his leadership and philanthropy. I guess I lost him. Rick?
No. I'm trying to sync it all in. The Rise Above Cancer partnership for him, Jim Brown, Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Cena continues to land roles in major Hollywood productions, but he soon returns to the ring while contributing to branding himself as a WWE respective honorable sports figure and league. By the way, good for him in a sport that's generated some controversy. He's risen above it.
And then how about Anthony Rizzo raising all that money with his 5K walk for cancer down in Parkland, Florida?
That's huge because that's a half hour away from me, and it was like 10 minutes from, I know, where you have a place. Raise a million one. It's not just his cancer research, but remember, he returned home the week after the Parkland shooting on a day off and organized a lot of the tributes around Parkland. Because that, you remember, that's where he went, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas School. He's united his hometown, not only during that tragedy, but for cancer research. So kudos to Anthony Rizzo. Let's root for a 45 home run season next year.
And how about Melvin Gordon of the Chargers? Is Holiday built a bike for L.A. youth? Good job by him.
Good job by him. He's got a big deal, awareness, physical activity, ages 5 through 12. By the way, the Chargers are doing really well as far as their philanthropy. They're not drawing a large fan base. That'll be taken care of when they go to the new stadium. But they're allowing their players, like Melvin Gordon, to step out and do some really good stuff, and good for him.
The Chiefs are about here, third and inches. They're right around the goal line, about to finish off the Chargers. If they score here, they'll go up two touchdowns. Rick, safe travels from Oklahoma City. Say hi to Dickie V from Uncle Futrelli.
He's a totally cool guy, by the way, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, there he is, Rick Harrow, our sports business insider on CBS Sports Radio. So I watched the Rockets beat the Lakers. Now I'm watching the Mavs and my boy Luka Doncic. I love watching this guy play basketball. He's incredible. He just took a charge. The guy, he gives up the body. He makes plays. He's unbelievable. Just a playmaker, a passer, a finisher, a lobber. He can just do everything. This guy is exciting. I love watching him play ball. He makes great passes, can finish, can play the body, 6'7". Imagine this guy. He's 19 years old. He's already big. He's already strong. He already plays like a man. He's got a grown man's body. It's just incredible. Great story on him in Sports Illustrated as well about how much this guy's game is evolving in the NBA. And, I mean, this guy's rookie of the year, hands down, and he plays like a 5-10-year vet. I mean, every guy in the league respects him. Have you noticed that? He's like the rookie. No one treats that guy like a rookie. They treat him like a rock star because he is one. And that's why he's on TV right now. Believe me, this Mavs-Suns game, they wouldn't air this if no one was alive. But they're airing it because of him, so we can watch this guy play basketball tonight on TNT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.